And we're going to get right into it this morning. Luke 11, it says this. Now it came to pass, as he was praying a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I love this passage of Scripture, because if you think about it, here's Jesus praying. When he finishes, the disciples say, we want to pray the way you just prayed. There was something about the way Jesus prayed. And we can see, by looking at the life of Jesus, that he spoke with authority. He walked in authority. He prayed with authority, unlike it had ever been seen with the religious people of his time. Matter of fact, they just looked at him and marveled, and they said, boy, he speaks with authority. And so Jesus went on and started to teach the disciples how to pray. And we've been learning throughout the course of this series that we need to pray in everything, say everything. We need to pray always, say always. And we need to pray everywhere, say everywhere. So we're learning that prayer is not something you just do in the morning. Come on, somebody. That's something you should do. But you should be praying throughout the day, learning to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, realizing, as God is teaching us, that he's already met our needs. And if he's already met my needs, listen carefully, then what kind of a life am I supposed to live? And that's what Jesus was trying to teach us. If we'll understand the kingdom of heaven and things he's showing us and that our needs are met, now we can go out and we can live the kingdom, and the kingdom of heaven is spread through our lives. All right, so we have to pray in everything, pray always, and pray everywhere. And so Jesus answered when his disciples asked him, teach us to pray. He said this in Luke 11, 2. He said, when you pray, say, read this with me, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, of course, 2 weeks ago, we started to talk about the fact that, or actually 3 weeks ago, we had some special speakers in there, that we need to realize, first of all, that God is our Father. Extremely important to know that, and we spent a couple of weeks on that. If you want to hear that part of the message, you can get online and catch up on that. But you need to believe that God has your best interest in mind, that he is your Father. He's holy, he's God, completely, 100%, but he is our Father. And so even though there's a respect we need to pay to that because he's God, we need to realize that he is our Father and he will meet our needs. We're supposed to come to him like you would go to your earthly father, but even better, because God is better than our earthly father. Amen. And last week we talked about the kingdom of heaven, because he said, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And the kingdom is not something that only the strong receive. It's something, it's not somewhere that we arrive. In fact, I think just the opposite is true. Our battle is to keep ourselves humble. This is what we talked about last week, or childlike, while expecting the impossible to manifest at every turn. And so we need to keep this childlike, humble attitude, but expect God to move in miraculous ways. It's not according to my goodness. It's not according to me. God moves according to his grace, his goodness, but I need to stay humble and childlike, expecting that to happen in my life. And Jesus, of course, talked in Luke 12. We're not going to turn there this morning, but he said that worry would steal the kingdom of heaven. Again, you can get this online and get caught up. But so many times we worry. You know, that's one thing people do. That's one thing Christians do. We worry, don't we? We worry. And instead of worrying, we should be praying. You know, because what we're doing is we're worrying and we're reciting the problem over and over and over. Now, if you were here Wednesday, Pastor Dwayne Vanderclack was here Wednesday, and he taught us, really, it's good to read your Bible, but it's better to meditate on the Word. And what does that mean? That means you continually meditate. You recite it over and over, and you start to speak it into your life, and you meditate on it, and you meditate on it. Rather than emptying our minds, we fill our minds with the Word of God. And so our spirit and our mind are now are unified with the Word of God. And so you and I need to learn how to do this, because what we do is we worry. And so many people, we're praying, but we're praying for the wrong thing. We're worrying, and we're agreeing with the devil. And we've talked about, you know, the spirit of fear, really, I believe, is a demonic prophetic utterance. The spirit of fear is something demonic that will say, your life will not work out. And so when we're worrying, we're agreeing with that. So we're already praying. We just got to change what we pray. Are you with me? And we meditate on the Word of God, and we're learning that God is a giver of gifts. He's our Father, and he's given us all things that pertain to godliness and life. Now, today I want to talk about the next portion of this scripture here, where he says, give us day by day our daily bread. And read with me, if you will, Matthew 7, verse 7. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone, who's an everyone this morning? Is anybody an everyone? Okay. It says, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And you see, again, Jesus talked like this a lot. He said, we need to realize that, you know, if our earthly fathers, a good earthly father, you know, there's not a parent around that wouldn't want to have better for their children than they've had, to meet their needs, to do the best they can for their kids, to make sure that their kids have a better start in life than they did. Are you with me? And so he's saying, you being human or evil is what Jesus said. We just mentioned human or carnal. Know how to give good things. Don't you think God is that much better and able to give that much better things? We need to learn how to ask and receive, seeking the kingdom. We talked about that last week, that really seeking the kingdom of heaven is so important. So many times we think what we think we need is what we need. What we think we're asking for, the things we're praying for, we think that's what we need. What we need is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven can produce some of those things because Jesus said, and we looked at it last week, that the kingdom of heaven, if we would seek the kingdom of heaven first, that everything we needed would be added to our lives. But what we do is we start seeking the things and not seeking the kingdom. And so we're asking to receive. We're seeking the kingdom. And we're going to talk a little bit about this morning, about the fact that what we're seeking is so important. And he says, knock, which means just don't quit. I want to read a portion of scripture. I didn't have this in our notes, so if you're following along on your, maybe you're alone, I don't know, but if you're following along on your cell phone, and we got those available for you, if you have YouVersion on your cell phone, you can pick up the message today and follow along on your phone, or just read along in your Bible. But Zach, if you would look up for me, Luke 18, I know this isn't in our original notes, but Luke 18, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Luke 18, and I'm going to read, let me see here. I want to start reading in verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. We'll read through verse 8. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. That's speaking to somebody right there today. Don't quit. Don't quit. All right. He says, there was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I do not fear God or care about, I don't care about nobody. I mean, check this guy out. I don't care about people. All right. He says, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant request. Anybody ever have somebody like that? It's like, you are wearing me out, man. That's what this woman was doing. The judge said, I've had it. I don't even like people and she's bugging me. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from the unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him, what, day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? And so Jesus is likening prayer and faith to this woman who didn't give up. She kept going. I want to talk a little bit this morning, and we'll continue to talk more throughout the course of this series. You and I have got to learn to pray through things. You got to learn to pray through things. How many know sometimes you can start praying about something and your mind will drive you crazy, just like this persistent widow. Sometimes you'll be praying and you'll be praying. You say, I've prayed this so many times, I quit. I don't ever feel that way. Come on, be honest. You can't lie in church. And you say, I just quit. I want to quit. But don't quit. We need to learn how to pray through, and we'll give you some scriptures this morning that I think will help us understand what that means, because so many times when you're facing a challenge, you got to pray first just to get your flesh out of the way. Are you with me? And many times we quit even before we've gotten our flesh out of the way. But we need to pray through, and you know, God is the giver of gifts. He's going to answer our requests. The Bible says if we ask, he gives it to us. But he is more concerned with the whole process that he takes us through so that we continue to become more and more like him. Because listen, our flesh is the greatest enemy of God. Our flesh will keep us from walking in the kingdom of heaven. Our flesh does not think like God. Isaiah 55, as a matter of fact, we're not going to turn there. But he says, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord, even as the heavens, or the universe really, is higher than the earth. It doesn't stop. They will never find the end of the universe because it just keeps going. He says, that's the way God's ways are. But he reveals them to us by his Spirit. And so you and I need to be persistent. We need to learn how to ask daily. It says, give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day, say day by day. This is something we just do, and we continue to believe God. We continue to meditate on Scripture. We continue to seek the kingdom of heaven. If you do nothing more than say, Lord, I'm right now, there are things in my life, whatever it could be. It could be finances. It could be relationships. It could be healing, health. I don't know what it is. You say, Lord, there's things that aren't lined up with your kingdom. But today, I seek the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness. Today, I know that your Bible tells me, your word tells me, Lord, that healing is mine, that by Jesus' stripes I am healed. I know that you meet my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know that you give me a sound mind. I know that you have not given me a spirit of fear, and so on. And you start to just pray through, and you start to put your flesh down, and you continue to pray through, and you continue to pray through. But it's something we have to do daily. Exodus 16:4, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people should go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Now, we're not going to turn today, but you can read John chapter 6 on your own. And Jesus is reflecting on this particular scripture where God feeds the children of Israel in the wilderness with manna. And Jesus said, Moses didn't feed your ancestors, but my Father fed your ancestors manna in the wilderness. But then Jesus started to say that he was the true bread from heaven. Read it on your own, John 6. It's really, really, really some good stuff. And we'll probably reflect on a few of the verses in there throughout this series too. But read that chapter. Because what's happening, you understand, the Old Testament was pointing to something that God was going to be doing. Something he was going to be doing. But here's the thing that I want us to get from this scripture. Manna or bread or prayer is something that's day by day. The presence of Jesus is something you and I have got to work for day by day. We've got to pray through and believe God. Now, I want to give you a couple scriptures. Sorry, Zach, I know I'm throwing scriptures at you I didn't have in my nine notes. But I want to read out of Psalm 34. So if you got your Bible, turn to Psalm 34. And I'm going to read, these will both be New Living Translation. New Living Translation, Psalm 34. I'm going to start in verse 4 and read through verse 10. It says, "I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy." Come on, somebody. "No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all that they need." I love this. "Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack," what? "No good thing." And I love this scripture, and we're going to talk a little bit more this morning, that God not only wants to meet your needs, but God wants to deliver you and save you from every challenging situation that you face. And this scripture covers it all. We just looked at a few verses. Another one is good. Let's look at this together. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Again, New Living Translation. I'm going to read verse 18, 19. And then we're going to bump up to 23. But let's read verse 18 and 19 together first. It says, "Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever." Verse 19. He says, "They will not be disgraced in hard times, even in famine." Leave that there for a moment. "They will have more than enough." If you're facing hard times today, understand, these are just a couple scriptures. You can find more. The Bible's full of them. But God meets your needs. No matter what you're going through today, these are good scriptures to meditate on, to pray through. Are you with me? And you pray through and say, "Lord, I know this is your truth. Even if I'm facing something right now, it looks like I'm going to run out." How many know sometimes you feel like you're going to run out? But right here, the Bible says that he will meet your needs. Look at verse 23. Let's read verse 23 through 25. And it says this. "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." You know, God cares about every single detail of your life. Every single detail. "Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Once I was young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread." These are some of my favorite. These are really, you know, you hear people say life scriptures. Both of these, Psalm 34 and 37, are some of my life scriptures. It has got it covered, man. I want to tell you something. Not only will God give you peace of mind, not only will he give you victory, not only will he meet your needs, but he'll meet the needs of your children and your children's children. Because that is God's plan for your life. Say, "I will succeed." See, God wants your family to succeed more than you want to succeed. But there's things in this life that are constantly coming against us, constantly trying to make us think that God has forgotten about us. That's why Jesus said to seek the kingdom of heaven first. Because if we get caught up seeking the things that we think we need, we miss what God is trying to say. He wants to take care of us, but when we start seeking the things that we think we need, we get off track. And so we really don't get the peace, the understanding. We're not meditating on his word. We're worried about what we're facing. And listen, things we face can really, they can be bad. They can suck. Let me just say that. Sometimes things suck. They do. Life does sometimes. But you know what? Life is extremely rewarding. And God wants to not only give you eternal life, but he wants to reward you in this life. Well, I should have got an amen out of that. But he wants to reward you. He wants you to have a good life now. But you and I need to learn how to ask in faith. Let's look at this. John 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask in ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. So Jesus is saying, look, whatever you ask for in my name, doesn't he say anything? Isn't that what he said? In that day you'll ask me nothing. What so assuredly I say that whatever, isn't that what it says, you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever. Now the problem is we're not seeking the kingdom of heaven, and most of us are not living a life that is really settled in the will of God for our lives, because we're trying to make our own way, and we've all messed up. Listen, we have all gotten off task. We have all stumbled. But the problem is we need to just make sure that we're seeking the kingdom of heaven. I mentioned this already, but I want to talk a little more about praying through, because that's something, as I was going over my notes just this morning when I got up, the Lord just really was ministering to me to talk about praying through. Talk about praying through, because so many times, listen, if you aren't in faith, you'll get frustrated. I'll say that again. If you're not in faith, you'll be frustrated. There is nothing worse than not getting your prayers answered. There is nothing more discouraging than not getting your prayers answered. And we can get frustrated. And all of us can have levels of frustration and disappointment in our lives. But the thing is, we need to learn how to pray through. Pray through, pray through. And it can, I mean, you're talking about, you and I need to learn how to wrestle. I mean, you remember the story in the Old Testament, how Jacob wrestled with the angel? Remember that? We're not going to turn there today, but really, it's a great example of praying through. Lord, I'm not letting go till you bless me. That's that. I mean, you think about that, the tenacity and just continuing to stay on. And you and I really need to learn, if we're going to have successful prayer lives, we've got to learn to pray through. And I want to look, again, Zach, I apologize, none of these are in your notes up there. But this morning I really felt it was something that the Lord wanted us to look at. James 1, and again, these are both of these references are all in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to first read James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James chapter 1. Verses 5 through 8, New Living Translation. He says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. I want to stop for a minute. You have got to believe that God is generous. Say generous. Generous. Say so generous. So generous. We've got to believe that about God. We have to, all right? He says, so ask, and he will give it to you. Doesn't that bear witness with the same thing Jesus just said? He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that you're in faith, your faith, rather, is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person who's divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Now listen, that describes every one of us at one point or another, doesn't it? It really does. But see, that's one way you can know you're not in faith. It's when you're tossed around. Say, okay, Lord, I know. And you know what? You just say, God, I'm not in faith. It's all right. He already knows. Say, I need your help. I mean, that's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of what? Our faith. See, you need, if you're going to get the faith that you need, you have to get your eyes on Jesus, because this is not something you can do on your own. I mean, it's not just like, what was that? What's that? You'll help me, Trish, the children. What's that? It's like the train that thought he could. What was that? I think I can. What was the name of that? I think I can. Yeah. A little train that could. Boy, that's a hard title, right? So I think, you know, and you know what? We need to believe, and it's good to be tenacious, and we need to not give up. But listen, here's what happens. As we pray and we seek God and we're still being tossed about, we can say, Lord, I'm not in faith yet. I'm going to continue to pray. I know this is what your word said. And you know what? When we pray that way, what starts to happen is you'll start to get peace. You'll be like, oh, that's it. I prayed through. Some things you may have to pray through longer. That's why it's good to write things down, because you are probably not going to get most of your prayers answered when you think. And I thank God, you know, so many times he's not going to answer them the way that we'd like him to, and I thank God he doesn't. I mean, really, you know. God answers our prayers, every one of them, okay, every single one, and we need to get in faith. So it says here, where we leave off, he says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Isn't that something? If we don't pray through, we will not even get our prayers answered. So that's how important it is. And I'm going to say, most Christians never learn this. We pray, we don't get what we're asking for, and we're just like, oh, why me? Lord, it works for so-and-so, but it just doesn't work for me. Say, Pastor, how do you know we say that? Because I say that sometimes. Awful quiet in here today. But he says, what the problem is our loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. And so the reason I like this scripture is when I start to feel that way, I can go to them and say, Lord, I'm not in faith. I confess it to you that I am not in faith right now. And Father, that I'm unstable in everything that I'm doing. So I look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I keep my eyes fixed on you. And I know that by fixing my eyes on you and meditating on your word, whatever the answer is to your problem, whether it's finance, health, like we're talking about, you find a scripture on it, you get that. And we've got those for you. We got books and helps and all kinds of things. The information center, you can get online. There's scriptures for everything. And then you and I get ourselves in faith and confess it and say, Lord, I'm not going to be unstable anymore. Now, let me show you this. This will help us, too. This is also in James chapter 3, James chapter 3, New Living Translation. And I want to read verses 13 through 18. James chapter 3, starting in verse 13 through 18 in the New Living Translation. He says, if you're wise in understanding God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you're bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, see, this is more than just ambition for ourselves. You understand that? There you'll find disorder and every evil kind. But the wisdom from above is first, what? Pure. It also is peace-loving. It's gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, the reason I really believe the Lord led us to these scriptures is these are good ways for us to understand if we've prayed through something. Are you with me? Because if you have bitterness, if you have envy, then you can go and say, Lord, I am seeking things for ambitious reasons. If you're sensing these things, you can be assured you are not praying in agreement with the wisdom and the Spirit of God. Are you with me today? These are good ways to really gauge where you're at. Because if we don't do this, what we end up doing is saying, oh, forget about it, I'm done. And we stop praying. Does that make sense? But you don't want to stop praying because you want to be like the persistent widow, but you want to be better than the persistent widow because you want to be able to recognize when you're not in faith. And then confess that to God, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, so I can get his faith and now pray through until I get the peace and the wisdom that comes from God, which is gentle, yields to others, and so on. Does that make sense? And so these are great scriptures for you and I to mark and to use as really a gauge of where our prayer life is. Now look what it says. Let's go back to James 1. James 1, chapter 16. This is in the notes. He said, yay, we're back on track. He says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by what? The word of truth. The word of truth is always the thing that is going to bring the answer to what we're seeking, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so we need to believe that God gives perfect gifts, that God is a perfect God, that he is our Father. We need to make sure we're seeking the kingdom of heaven and not the things that we think we need. Now, it's okay to ask for things, and you should have goals, and you should write them down, and you should have a prayer list, and you should be reflecting on that. You know, Trish and I are just getting ready this year. We always, every the end of October, every year, we get away, and we pray about things for the church. Well, we're always praying about things for the church, but I mean, start to plan 2014. And we do it with our personal lives, and we ask God what he wants us to do financially in our giving, what he wants us to do financially with investing or saving or whatever, what he wants us to do with every area of our lives, things that we're working on together and we want to see us get stronger in. And listen, you and I need to do that. And then you can visit those things throughout the year. And don't get discouraged, because some of the things, if you've got a list, you might have, I don't know, hundreds of things I don't know that you want to see in your lifetime. Don't get discouraged if you don't get them all. Just check them off as you get them. Stay persistent, but realize it's more important that you're seeking the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is something that's starting to come out of you, and that you're enjoying this ride, that you're allowing God to use you. Whether, you know, even the things we mentioned here, we're coming up on Christmas, we got the big give. You know, pray about it. Say, well, God, what do you want me to do there? That's one way you can get involved. I told you a couple weeks ago how I blessed someone with a $5 umbrella, and it changed her day. I don't have my little wristband on today, but you can. We've got those. Listen, remember, tomorrow is what, Monday? It's Mission Monday. Mission Monday. Jesus said, what you've done to the least of these, you've done also for me. And start to live a life where you're living a life knowing that the kingdom of heaven is something that God wants to move through you, and then you start to let God move through you. You let your cares and things rest on him. You gauge yourself whether you're in faith or not. You keep a prayer journal. I mean, we should be writing things down. You should. I'm not going to ask this morning, but I've done it a couple of times. See how many of us even bring our Bibles to church. Now, many of you read on your phones. That's fine if you really like that. But we need to be in the Word. We need to be writing things down. We need to be believing God. We need to be highlighting things. You know, I save my old Bibles. I'll buy a new Bible. I'll save my old ones. And sometimes maybe you've done this. I'll go back and I'll look at things where I highlighted and wrote things in. And some things are really good. Other things I go, man, have I grown. it's really a good way to help you stay encouraged. Because listen, if you get discouraged, it's over. It's over. And your prayer life, sometimes you're going to have opportunity to get discouraged. But don't be discouraged. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. See, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's what a successful prayer life is going to look like. Let me give you a scripture here on how to pray. How to pray. Ephesians 1:16. And these are just a few. I mean, we're probably going to stay on this series for quite a few weeks in the future. He says this, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Good thing to, I'm just going to kind of stop as we go through this and give you ideas. And you can pray and say, Lord, today I pray for a spirit of wisdom. Remember those scriptures we looked at in James? And the wisdom from God is peaceable. And say, you can start to gauge. That's the kind of wisdom I want, God. And so you start your day and say, I want to walk in your wisdom today. And so that's a good way to pray. Pray for revelation. Pray for the knowledge of him. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding, and you can pray this for other people, but pray for yourself first, that your eyes of understanding would be enlightened, that I may know the hope of my calling that you've placed in my life. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? And actually, I said my calling, but it's his calling because he placed it on us. Remember, we said our last series, we talked about that. Jesus chose you. Remember, he said, it wasn't that you chose me, I chose you. Now, we make a choice to follow him, but he chose us since before the foundation of the world. So it's our calling, but it's his calling that he placed on our lives. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And so there's some things that you and I can pray, not only for ourselves, but for members of our family. We can pray it over the church. We can say, Lord, I thank you that today I have a spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. I have understanding of you. I understand the call of God in my life. I thank you that you open up my eyes today, Lord, and I walk in the riches and the inheritance that you have given to all the saints, which is what? That's the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that when we pray, we come in his name, and anything we ask, didn't we read that this morning, that God would answer it. Pray your what? Kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we start to live this way, and we start to pray this way, and that's when we really start to have powerful prayers. Just a few more minutes. I think we can give you a couple more scriptures before we go this morning. You should be praying for God's presence. I'm just giving you a few things to pray on a daily basis. You'll have to get in the Word and do some more research on your own, and it's fun. And we'll help you. Get involved in this. I mean, let me just say this. Our Relate groups right now are going awesome. I want to thank all the leaders and everybody participating. We looked at it's been awesome. We looked at the people going to small groups right now. We've got between 70 to 80 people involved in small groups. And I'll tell you, for a church of 250, that ain't too bad. And I'm pretty happy with that. But the rest of you, what's keeping you? I mean, you get involved. And we're getting story after story after story. Because, listen, relationships, that's where you grow. We'll give you tools on Sundays, too, and on Wednesdays. But, boy, I'll tell you what, you got to do it on your own, too, the groundwork. You need to be that persistent widow. We can't be the persistent widow with you. Matter of fact, sometimes I may seem like the unjust judge. I don't know. I don't want to be, but, hey, you know. But pray for his presence. Look at this, Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. You and I can pray and say, Lord, I thank you that today, because of my life, that people will be turned to the Lord, that they'll see Jesus in my life. That is a great prayer to pray. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as what? Ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. See, you're seeking the kingdom of heaven and saying, Lord, today I thank you that the presence of God follows me everywhere I go. I'm not sufficient of myself, but I'm sufficient because you've made me sufficient as a minister of the gospel because of the work that you're doing in my life. And I'll tell you, you start to face your day with a whole new attitude. Pray for God's favor and blessing. Psalm 5, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You'll surround him as with a shield. Genesis 12, 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Matthew 7, 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Not in your notes, but Romans 8, 32, you can add it. Romans 8, 32 says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And what's the answer to that? Yes. And finally, pray for protection. 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we don't have time to turn to it this morning, but Psalm 91, the whole psalm is great, but Psalm 91, verses 9 through 14, if you're taking notes, and you should be. Psalm 91, 9 through 14. I'm going to tell you what, if you need protection, those are some great scriptures. God will protect you. God will protect you. Psalm 3, 1, it says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Listen, no matter what you're facing today, God is your shield and your glory and the one that says, I can lift my head up and I can live this life that he's called me to live. Amen. And that's his promise to you and to me and to our children's children. And next week we'll talk about things we can pray for, I guess. Well, you know what? I probably have enough time. We just have to dismiss after this. So let's pray this. 1 Timothy 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is a great scripture because you understand God's will now. God's will is that everybody would get saved, and now I can pray and make supplication to God for myself. I can ask the Lord to examine me. I can pray for my family and friends. I can pray for spiritual leaders. I can pray for political leaders. I can pray for bosses. Please pray for our political leaders. They need it. I mean, the good ones and the ones that maybe aren't so good. They all need it. Pray for lost people, this city, the region, the nation. Pray for whoever God puts on your hearts. And we'll talk more about that as we get through the series again, but I wanted to give you some scriptures that really, so many people say, well, where do I start? How do I start to pray? We've given you some scriptures this morning that will help you to be able to develop a prayer life, and if you already have one, this is just going to give you more ammunition, if you will, to be able to pray through successfully. Now, the next thing that we're going to look at is God forgiving our sins, and we'll get into that, but we don't have any more time this morning, so I've got to go, and we'll pick this up next week. Father, we thank you for the word of God that changes us from the inside out. I thank you for every person here that has heard this message, and I ask you to fill them with understanding, to open up our eyes, that we can see things from a kingdom perspective. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord,